Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Swanson lines one shallow left field base hit. One runner's in. Horner heading home. The throw not in time. Two-run single, Dansby Swanson. Cubs lead 4-2.
He's obviously at the heart of that, just with his preference of chaos, I guess. And then everyone just playing the game hard. I think, you know, stolen bases often kind of get wrapped up as like the summary of is the team good at base running. There's so much more to it than that. We haven't had as many steals in the last week or so, but that comes and goes just with game situations and pitchers and matchups. But the base running at the heart of it has been consistent throughout, so that's been great.
It's Nico Horner with us just a few minutes ago talking about PCA and the type of havoc that he can cause on the base pass. It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock tonight. Cubs baseball, by the way, on the score. The pregame will start at 6:05 on the Southwest Airlines and Cubs radio network. I don't know if you know this about me, Spiegs. I know that you know that I love baseball, but I don't know how geeky some of the stuff I love about baseball is.
I think I may, but I'm looking forward to you talking about this particular span that we got to see and hear last night in this game.
One of my favorite things about baseball is runners who are able to go first to third. I mark them. I look for the ones that are really good at it. Mike Trout, really good at first to third. Shohei Ohtani, really good at first to third. Picking the ball up and then giving maximum effort to get from first base to third. Cutting the base inside so that you get that extra half of a step to get to third base and make it there safely.
I love that. I asked Quentin Berry that exact question on Hit and Run a few weeks back. Like, which Cub do you feel best about going first to third? And he said Dansby Swanson. You watch Dansby run the bases. Dansby really knows what he's doing, doesn't he?
Dansby is an excellent baseball player. Like, from a fundamental standpoint, there's really not a lot that you can even quibble with his game. And he does understand running on the inside part of the bag, making that turn a lot sharper than most people would think it is. But it happened last night, and I was so excited about it that I thought that we could spend a little time doing it. Because when it's done well, it can change a game. And for the Cubs in particular, their diversity of offense. People have been talking about this for a while, like not just wanting them to be a three-outcome type offense, that sometimes you need to generate runs. They have a lineup now that is capable of doing that. If you want to go to Slugtown, they can go to Slugtown with you. But there are enough really good, Ian Happ's another good base runner that they have on this team. This team steals bases. But more importantly, so far, they run bases well. So let's go through this a little bit, because I thought that this was a pivotal moment in the game. Yesterday, to start things off, in the fourth inning, PCA with just a little something to get him on base. And then, I'm sorry, Sean, I cut you off. Please, go ahead. No, you got it.
Impressive long balls, too. Here's a dribbler toward third, shallow as Chapman. Loves it and throws late. He bobbled the ball. That's an error on Chapman. It's no coincidence, Ron. There are many more errors committed on balls hit by guys with great speed than guys with slow speed.
There is no doubt that Chapman knew who was hitting and was trying to speed up his process, and he looked up before he caught the ball, and now you're going to get your chance to see Pete Kerr-Armstrong at first. Let's see if he takes off.
Hold on to that theme for a second, because Pat and Nkum were on it all night last night. So then we have Nico step up to the plate, and then we see PCA turn on the Jets going first to third.
And the pitch to Nico. Line drive toward right. That's a base hit. Kerr-Armstrong racing around second, going to third. And the throw goes to second base. Horner looping one over the head of the second baseman, Haas. Runners at first and third now, two down, and the batter, Dansby Swanson.
That little fastball starts out in the middle of the plate, and that's that sinker running in hard on Nico, and he inside outs this ball. Great piece of hitting by Nico. Hits the hole on the right side, and I'll tell you, Pete can really go, man. When he really wants to run, oh my, he was flying. Matos came way in to get this ball, and there was just no chance of getting Pete Kerr-Armstrong at third.
Let's see if Dansby can drive in a run now. Then at first and third, the pitch. Her ball is low for ball one.
I would love to get like a time on some of the fastest guys that have run around the bases, period, right? You know, and but from first to third right there, Pete knew he had to go. He was going around second base, and that's about as fast as you're going to see anybody go around the bases.
Now, I contend this changed the inning and changed the game. PCA taking the force away at third because he goes first to third, and then it leaves second base open. And then what happens a couple of pitches later, Nico Horner takes off.
And the pitch to Swanson, running and stealing second, uncontested as Nico Horner. The count now 1-1 on Swanson. So now a base hit to the outfield could drive in a pair. Nico had his eyes on the catcher. Had the throw gone down, I think Nico might have tried to get into a rundown.
Yeah, he would have, no doubt. I think that's good job by the Cubs scouting department because they knew the Giants were not going to throw to second base.
Swanson lines one shallow left field, base hit. One run is in. Horner heading home. The throw not in time. Two-run single, Dansby Swanson. Cubs lead 4-2.
Speed. We've seen it all year from the Cubs. They've got some pop in their bats. They hit balls out of the ballpark, but team speed can put major pressure on a team's defense. A two-out error in this inning ends up costing the Giants two runs.
You damn right, Coom.
Yeah, man.
Them being able to take advantage of it because they don't want to throw down on Nico because they know PCA could take off from third. You got an extra base because you took an extra base.
And then it's just a little single from Dansby.
And it turns into two RBIs.
Yep. It's an absolutely beautiful thing.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. It's beautiful. That's it. Like, that's what a diversified offense is supposed to look like, where they're putting pressure on you. So, Spees, I'm watching all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sitting there watching the game. And then I was like, I'm going to take a walk. I like taking walks on spring and summer nights, occasionally fall nights, with Pat and Ron. So I'm listening to the game, and this theme came up again in the sixth inning, where the speed of the Cubs as a team played mind games with the Giants. Why don't we start with Nico getting on base because there's an error?
A long stretch in the pitch. Nico hits a bouncing ball to the hole at short. Adamas goes to second and throws the ball away. The ball ends up in foul territory down the right field line. Runners end up at second and third. Adames threw the ball to second. It got by Koss, and it went down the line and right in foul territory. Cubs get a big break.
That's the second time now that an error has been made by an infielder by the Giants strictly because of Pete Kerr-Armstrong's speed. He's flying into second base, and he's coming into second, and Adames knows he better get rid of this ball in a hurry or else he's going to be safe, and he just throws the ball away.
So there's that tandem again, Nico and PCA on second and third, and then the speed affects the Giants again.
Now the 1-1 from Birdsong. Swinging a bouncing ball to third. Bobbled by Chapman. Everyone is safe. The runners held thinking that Chapman would glove the ball cleanly. He charged a hard-hit ball and bobbled it. And we'll wait to see how they rule it. The runners held at second and third because they thought that Chapman was going to glove it cleanly. But he bobbled it, and that's going to be an error. E5, kind of a tough error.
It's a tough error, but it is an error. You know, because if he holds his ground and catches this ball, he's going to get a nice big hop. The problem with that is he's not sure if Pete Kerr-Armstrong is going to take off or not. So that's the third error in the game that's been caused by the speed of Pete Kerr-Armstrong. Because as a third baseman, if it's not Pete Kerr-Armstrong, I would have just waited for that second hop, caught it, looked him back, and thrown to first base. Pete at third base forces you to attack that ground ball.
How can you not love baseball?
Oh, it's beautiful stuff, man. It's beautiful stuff. When I dated back to when I learned to play in television video game baseball, and I certainly use it now on MLB The Show when I play against the boy or whatever. If you know how to run the bases, run the bases. Dare them to make the right play. And it still holds true. Be aggressive. Freak them out. Especially when you are fast and smart and opportunistic. It's one of the greatest things to watch in the game. And this team is doing it. While you're talking, Lawrence, and setting all that up, which is beautiful, I ran over to Baseball Savant to look at some of the extra bases taken leaderboards for teams. And the Cubs are tied for second in the most advance attempts of everybody in baseball. Number one is the Arizona Diamondbacks.
That makes sense.
If you've been watching them for a few years, that's the way they play.
We saw that basically in the Cubs in 23.
Absolutely.
With them doing that.
100% correct. We saw that as part of the Cubs collapse. Arizona was like, man, look at that team. They take every extra base. I wish we played that way. Wish they played that way. You've seen it with Cleveland teams in the past, and the Guardians are usually up there. Now it's the D-backs number one, and it's the Cubs and the Detroit Tigers. Tied for second. How about that Tigers season so far? So that's just the most attempts at taking the extra base, highest percentage of it. So like Nico said to us, you can look at stolen bases and the Cubs are first in stolen bases, but you got to look more. And there's other ways to look. Savant also has another one, like, you know, base running runs as a leaderboard. They've got pure sprint speed, like Coom was talking about. You can look up and see individuals and see Pete Kerr-Armstrong's very high on that list.
What's the kid's name in Tampa?
Oh, that's my guy. Simpson. Chandler Simpson.
Good Lord.
Dude.
He went second to home on an infield hit. And it looked like he was going so fast that he didn't touch home plate.
Absolutely.
Because he was like, oh, I'm going to slide.
Yeah,
it was like,
go.
He like took to the air.
Yeah. He has scored on a sac fly from second base before. Earlier in the year in AAA, he beat out an infield single that was directly to the first baseman.
That's insane.
A routine infield ground ball to the first baseman. He beat it out. So speed is back in this game.
It is.
And part of it is the stolen base rules. Part of it is the slightly expanded base. Part of it is the efficiency with which guys are stealing base. If you can, and part of it is the groupthink of the math around the league. Like, if you can be aggressive and succeed over a certain level.
Usually like 77%. If you're over that, then you should be stealing bases.
Yeah, is that what it is?
It's either 72 or 77.
Yeah, it's something low 70s, I think, right? Like over two-thirds. But yeah, I think you're right. There's a specific number that has become the groupthink acceptability. But I love your point about first to third, man, because that's what it is. And we know this Cubs franchise has stressed that. And I believe it is a council thing. that came with him from Milwaukee, because that's what the Brewers always did.
Yes.
And you just pointed out what happened in September of 23. And this team has successfully flipped the script. And yes, they have guys who are good at it. Kyle Tucker's great at it. So they have some new guys who are good at it, but they have taught their own guys to be real aggressive at
it. And because you have Nico's a super smart baseball player, Dansby's a super smart baseball player, Ian's a super smart baseball player, you add that into when to do it, and then you see the speed, like the outright speed of PCA going first to third, doing it the right way, getting there, and it changes things. It changes everything. It changes how the defense plays. It changes what the pitcher's doing. It changes what he's looking at. All of this stuff, I love it, because if you do it well, you put pressure on the defense in a way that, sure, home runs are nice, and I am all for it. I'm all for swing the bats. I'm big on that. But once you get on the bases,
then wreak havoc.
Make life hard 100%. On your opponent.
And look what it did. Exactly. In that inning, with two outs, it's an infield error because of the fear of PCA's speed. It's a stolen base. And everything that you just laid out, how it happened. Just so people understand, too, by the way, Matt Chapman
is a elite player at third base.
He won the Platinum Glove twice.
Yeah.
That's where they pit all the gold glovers against each other and figure out who's the best. And it's a platinum, and he won it. And by the way, I always like to remind people, Matt Chapman came up in high school and wanted to play shortstop, but the shortstop on his high school team was Nolan Arenado, so he couldn't. So he played third base for a while. And then when Arenado left, he went back to shortstop at high school. So
shortstops can do anything.
They can, but Chapman and Arenado, teammates, and then both 18 and 19, I think they were both the Platinum Glove Award winners, one National League, one American League.
And look, I don't like to lean on my baseball experience because it wasn't very high, but my amateur baseball experience as a catcher, I'll tell you, when there's someone like that, it can make you tense too behind the plate. And you're thinking, you know what? I've got to figure out what my approach is going to be on what we do if this person steals. Am I throwing through? How am I throwing through? This is where a lot of catchers will get themselves a catcher's interference call because they're trying to snatch the ball before it gets across the plate because they're so concerned about what's going on between first and second or second and third.
Do you see the play last night? Everybody was talking about the Lindor tag. You know, now that Javi's in center and he's killing it in Detroit, Lindor might be the best tagger I ever saw. So Francisco Lindor made a great tag on a stolen base, but Francisco Alvarez had like a record pop time on the same play. Like that kind of stuff makes baseball so much more fun.
Ball should be out as your front foot gets to the ground. That was always what I was taught. And some guys have enough arm where it doesn't matter. You can just throw it. Wilson Contreras and his brother, they're both kind of like that, where their arms are so good that it kind of doesn't matter. But if they can get the technical along with all of the natural stuff, it makes them even more dangerous.
Two broadcast nuggets. One, Jim DeShays mentioned it last night that Matt Chapman with the mustache and the Giants uniform reminds him of Jeff Kent. And I spent the rest of the night seeing only Jeff Kent as I looked at Matt Chapman. So damn you, JD. Alex Cohen said the same. And then this, I can share inside information.
Ooh.
Boog Shambi's back tonight.
All right.
John Boog Shambi, our dear friend, is back after an illness. He is back at Wrigley, back on the broadcast tonight for Marquee. So Boog and JD return as a tandem tonight.
Yeoman's work by Alex Cohen to do all of those games in a row. I'm sure he was not expecting to do all of those games in a row. I'm happy. I was starting to get worried about Boog. I'm happy that he is doing well enough to come back to the booth. And you breaking that news to let everyone know that Boog is back.
I have sources. I have one very specific source.
One that you send turkey sandwiches to.
Sometimes. Man loves a good turkey sandwich.
Well, who doesn't?
Right?
But I'm happy that he's back because I'm just glad that he's okay. And I was like, man, Boog's been gone for a minute.
Yeah.
And get back into the rhythm of Boog and JD and all the fun stuff that they do with Taylor McGregor. Boog, like, it's going to be great.
He's been missing some really good baseball.
Yeah, some baseball really that fun. He can really get down
yes,
with.
Yes, yes, all kinds of it. So, yeah, that'll be very cool to hear him here and see him tonight.
That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball's great, man.
Yeah, it is. Love this.
And I highly recommend, this is just my own thing and my own bias because I love him, but... I still love the radio call, and I often will schedule walks just so I can get a few innings. There was also some other stuff that I heard inside of the broadcast last night.
Those guys have more fun with live reads and sponsorships than anyone in the game, and they might have more to do than anyone in the game, so I'm glad that they have so much fun with it.
It's true. They do have a lot. Sean, do you have the – did you pull – I know I didn't say pull it, but did you pull the Xfinity thing? No.
Oh, the Wi-Fi is booming?
That bleep is hilarious. I want that bit to never end. Never, ever end. But all right, but I know you pulled the BBQ Authority stuff. Let's not waste. Let's share it. Let's share it with people. This was yesterday. The guys talking about BBQ Authority and doing the read during the game.
Saya's designated hitter tonight. And designated hitter is sponsored by BBQ Authority. Visit BBQ Authority in Lyle.
The DH Suzuki with a two-run single. Designated hitters for the Cubs, sponsored by, I believe Ron just read this commercial, so I will not double up
maybe,
on it.
Maybe you get a taste for some barbecue. BBQ Authority's ready for you.
Here's the pitch inside. And the count on Michael Bush is now 2-1.
We could meet for lunch in Lyle tomorrow. We got a place.
Would that be BBQ Authority?
You got it.
3 balls and a strike on Bush.
Just call Mitch and tell him we're on our way to the BBQ Authority. Can you make a call?
Man, that's more than their money's worth right there. That is a love affair with BBQ Authority.
And to be clear, BBQ Authority does not serve food.
Just call Mitch and tell him we're on our way to BBQ Authority. Can you make a call?
They serve
BBQ stuff.
They have barbecue equipment.
Sure.
Like, you can set your place up.
I mean, they'll order a pizza for those guys.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I did confirm they have rubs and sauces.
Perfect.
So bring your own food.
It's BYOB.
I'm sure.
BYOBBQ.
For Pat and Ron, I'm sure they will make something for them if they show up.
Guys, I made you a Hot Pocket. You want to put some sauce on it? I got sauces.
Hot here. Pocket.
Oh, delicious.
But yeah.
Why is it so good? Why are the Hot Pockets so good? I know it's like 85% preservatives. I know it, but I just can't.
Hot Pocket.
It's just too good, man.
We need to take a break.
Bastards.
Why? Because we're thinking of Hot Pockets. And also because we are going to talk with Cubs GM Carter. He is going to be on the show. And we've got things that we need to ask him. Because there's a lot of stuff going on. Whether Shota is going to be gone for a while.
Yeah, Shota was just talking apparently and said he's never had a lower body injury before. So he has no idea when he'll be back.
Carter Hawkins is going to help us figure out all of this stuff Cubs-wise next on The Score.